This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Hello and welcome to The Difference. I'm Jay Wirth. About 7-8 years ago, I was introduced to the idea of asking right. And I'm really fortunate today, and so are you, to hear from Tom Ralser, who kind of rewritten some of the precepts about fundraising and some of the long-held conceptions about it and turned it on their head in a very positive way. He's written 3 books, ROI for Nonprofits, The New Key to Sustainability. That came out 13 years ago. Asking Rights, Why Some Nonprofits Get Funded and Some Don't. And then his latest, which I found just a really enjoyable read, The 5-Minute Fundraiser, released in November of 2020. Tom, you tell me what The 5-Minute Fundraiser is about, and then we'll get into more about Asking Rights.
Thanks, Jay, and thanks for the kind words. In my role in the company, I do a lot of workshops. Asking Rights, that second book you mentioned, that's a rather lengthy book. There's a lot of technical parts to it. What I found was that the concepts were really well received, but I couldn't expect a board member, a busy board member that has a day job and so on, if I gave them that book ahead of time, to spend any amount of time with it to sort of prep for that workshop to make it as effective as it could be. So I had a lot of comments of, can you do a summarized version of that? Can you somehow make it shorter? And so that was the genesis of the 5-Minute Fundraiser, which was to take those concepts of asking rights and put them in a short story or a parable, very much like you might remember the 1-Minute Manager that I had to read in graduate school. So it's been a number of years. I don't think it was on a stone tablet at that point. And it seems to have had the intended result. A lot of times I send it out ahead of a workshop, and it's a quick enough read, under 2 hours, and the concepts are introduced, and that just seems to work really well. But Asking Rights, I think it might help Jay a little bit to just tell how that came about. Was working a number of years ago on a feasibility study in America's heartland. Was talking with the biggest banker in town in a very formal setting. He was very, very polite, very professional. And at the end of my discussion, my introduction, he said, why would I give you money? What gives you the right to ask me for money? And so that was really the genesis of the phrase asking rights. And it came to be known, kind of took that back to the office, and it just kept popping up of what gives an organization, a nonprofit organization, the right to ask for money. This gentleman in this example said, you know, I don't know you. I don't really know the organization you're representing. What gives you the right to ask me for money? Everybody's got their hand out. So that's what evolved into Asking Rights. And what we did was look at hundreds of campaigns that we had worked on. And I tried to find the common denominators, tried to find those things, distill it down again into what were those common denominators. And we came up with 3 categories, or one that we'll talk about today. We'll talk about this first one. One is the credibility of the organization. The second one was their fundraising skills, which are the easiest of the 3 to hire out for. That's what Convergent's all about. And then the last one is outcome. Credibility, the critical fundraising advantage there is it gets you in the door. And that's so important in a feasibility study, if you've never done one before, and we'll talk about that. The second one is fundraising skills. The critical fundraising advantage there is it closes the deal. It actually is what gets the signed commitment or the pledge card. And then the last one are outcomes, and that's probably the most important one if I had to pick, because outcomes justify the amount of the ask. And that's the difference between, you know, asking someone for $1,000 or $1 million. And those extremes aren't that great.
And we will explore those 2 in particular in subsequent podcasts. And today we're focusing on credibility.
Right.
So you have developed a product to help organizations get a handle on how credible they are seen by their constituency. So let's elaborate on that.
You know, the first, I'm going to assume that our audience has a little bit of familiarity with raising money in terms of a campaign. Oftentimes we call them capital campaigns, but that's sometimes a misnomer because it's not necessarily for bricks and mortar. It's just for multi-year pledges with a pile of money at the end. First step of that campaign process is a feasibility study, which is you talk to people in a confidential way. You present them a rough draft or a framework of what the money will be used for, and you get their opinion. It's not a solicitation. It's simply a conversation. What we were seeing were a lot of organizations wanted to go down that path of launching a feasibility, but the feasibility would too oftentimes come back with, no, you're just not ready for a campaign yet there, or there's no money there. That got distilled down into what we call a credibility issue, or specifically, how do we answer that problem, a credibility launch pad. In other words, it's the fertilizing of the prospect landscape to yield, number one, an actual interview with people. That's the important part. And that's why I talk about the CFA, or the critical fundraising advantage of credibility, is getting in the door. If they're not willing to talk with you, if they're not willing to offer you some time to discuss things with them, how are you ever going to get money from them, right? Or you might get that cursory, here's $1,000 and don't bother me any more money. But that's not how you build a campaign, correct? Everybody calibrates to the larger investors. It's a sequential thing. It's top down. It's inside out. And those are phrases for another day.
No, well, just briefly, because people are going to wonder, top down, sure. Inside out.
Yeah, a campaign is not about just asking people that have the capacity to write you a check for money. It's top down, meaning that you start with those that are most closely connected. And if you think of it as a pyramid, that top of that pyramid is that connection level. The next level down is just a concern for what you do, but they're not necessarily connected to your organization. And then that last level, that foundational level, is capacity. The problem that most nonprofits create for themselves in the raising of money is they start at the bottom, the capacity level. Who are the people that have, who are the deep pockets in the community? And they start there rather than the top level, which it's smaller. That's why it's the point of the pyramid. Who is connected to the organization? Because they need to set the example and set the pace. Now, what that doesn't mean is they have to write the biggest checks. And really what a campaign is moving, and you know this really well, Jay, it's moving people up those levels from capacity to concern and concern to connection. And once you do that, then the campaign is a natural success. When you don't have that connection or even concern to the organization or what you deliver in terms of outcomes, it's really hard for people to say, oh, sure, I'll talk to you. I'll take an hour out of my day to talk to you about investing in this program. The credibility launchpad was sort of designed for those organizations that have not really reached out before. They may do galas, or they may do a golf tournament or special events, or they may do an annual appeal, but not really an annual campaign. So it's sort of designed for those organizations that are smaller, that really need to expand their constituency. They don't really know where to start. They've been around for a while, but the board has sort of always been a worker board. We hear that phrase quite often. They don't think that if they went out with a campaign, they would raise the amount of money that they're hoping for or that they need. So what that credibility launchpad does is broaden the base, fertilizes the landscape. So when you do begin that process of saying, we'd really like to come and talk to you, Mrs. Banker, about our program and possibly investing in it and seeing if there's enough support out there for a campaign, to get in the door, get in the door, have that discussion. Doesn't mean that the money's out there. There may be a lot more work that needs to be done. Credibility is that starting point, because without that, what you're really doing is jumping so far ahead in that fundraising life cycle of simply asking people for money without the proper cultivation or without the proper evaluation. And that's kind of a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and I would imagine you have some real life examples to share that showed how effective the credibility launchpad notion is.
The one that's on my mind, actually it's on my desk right now, is a charter school, which is a private school that does get public funding on a per pupil basis. But by law in this particular state that I'm referencing, they can't use it to build a building, for instance. They can't use it, that public funding. So they're really caught in about a 30% deficit of what they need from what they get from a per pupil funding aspect. So they really didn't know where to start. Only the people I've ever reached out to in terms of fundraising was the parents of their students. That's raising money for a private school is a little bit different than raising money for a charter school, which receives public funding. So it's not really the same set of motivators. And they really didn't have a list. They didn't where to even start. People in the, even though the very nice facility and they were located in an interesting part business, part residential area, they didn't have, I'm just going to use the phrase, asking rights to go out into the community and successfully ask for money. I probably should define asking rights. Sometimes we assume it's self-explanatory, but it's really not. And the way I define that is it's the ability to deliver outcomes that are valued by investors. In other words, if you can deliver those outcomes that are valued, you have the right to ask them for money. There's a lot of operative words in there. And again, one of them is outcomes, which we won't really talk about today. But the credibility part of that was the issue for them. So, you know, some of the things we look at to determine if that's the right thing for you or if we need to focus on that is, have you done a campaign before? So do you know how it really works? Do you have a critical mass of constituency to make that feasibility effort valid and valuable and hopefully successful? And let me give you a real life example. If I'm sitting down with an organization, whether it be the executive or the senior staff or even the board, and I say, okay, let's assume we were going to send out 100 letters saying we'd like 45 minutes of your time to talk about investing in our organization, or is there a future campaign out there? If that group couldn't come up on the back of a napkin with 100 names just that quickly, that's probably an issue. So that's one of the things we look at. Is there ongoing communication with potential investors? We use the term investors a lot, but that's synonymous with donors. Do you continually reach out to them? Do they know what you're doing? And the reason that's important from even beyond a PR perspective, Jay, is that I want to see the habit. I want to see the infrastructure of outreach, because if you're really asking, if you're serious about asking people for money to invest in your organization, they have the right to understand and monitor what you're doing with their investment, how their investment is performing. I want to see that infrastructure there, that you're going to do that, that you're used to that. And a lot of organizations don't have it because they simply haven't thought about it that way. They've thought more about what is the table setting at the gala, for instance. And that's important, but it's really minor if you're going to adopt this more investment-driven approach, which we have found to be very, very successful, getting more successful every day. And, that's the model that's used by Convergent.
Yeah, I wanted to stress how important that communication piece is, as I've observed it in my years with Convergent. It's amazing how out of touch an organization can be with its investors or donors, because there's a lot to cover in running an organization. And oftentimes this communication piece gets a second shrift, and or there's no attention to it. And then you are ready to do launch your next campaign, and no one has context for what you've done, or and you've not kept them informed. Do you see that as very common? It sounds like you do.
It's very common, Jay, and I'll even go a step further. A lot of folks in the nonprofit space, in other words, those that actually are in the trenches every day, they open their doors every day, they're helping people or causes or fighting diseases or curing diseases, whatever it may be. A lot of times, they just assume that people understand what they do and the impact it has. That's really not the case. It's wonderful if it is the case, right? People understand the good work they do, and they see the value in it. And even beyond that, they see how that value impacts their lives or their community and why they're a community asset. But a lot of times, it just doesn't work that way. Oftentimes, it's viewed as, we don't really want to know what you're doing because you're helping the homeless, and that's sort of a blight on our downtown, and we just kind of pretend that problem wasn't there. And of course, that's no way to raise money when that's the attitude. So we focus on the outcomes, and we try to go to that level of what's the value of some of those outcomes to make everybody in the community think it's a better place and understand that it is a better place.
There are some critical questions that an organization needs to ask of themselves, basically a reality check to see if your organization has credibility. What are those questions?
We have something on the Convergent website we call a reality check, Jay, and that might be something, a very quick assessment that people can do on their own. It's under the resources tab, I believe, on the website. Are you well known in the community? That gets back to, you know, do you know who to talk to? Do they know who you are? Do they know what you're delivering? Are your funding sources that you've traditionally relied on generating less and less money, but you have to work harder and harder at them? We saw a lot of that surfaced in the during the pandemic, which I guess we're officially still in, because for a while there, you know, events had to cease to exist. And if you were relying on that for your primary funding source, and many organizations did, and you can put golf tournaments in that same category, your funding really changed. So if you had to work harder at them, typically virtual events didn't raise the amount of money that an in-person event would do with a silent auction and an expensive bar drinks and so on. You know, are the sources you relied on not where they need to be? And not just to keep your doors open, not just to keep things at status quo. We like to take your goals or aspirations or needs, because we're seeing a lot of increase in demands, especially in the human services space. Do we need to increase things? Do we need to have more money thrown at these issues? If your events, for example, are not working as well as they used to, it's probably not going, it's going to make the shortfall budget-wise even more pronounced. We like to package them. We like to put them in a, I will use the phrase, strategic initiative, which implies, one, you've really thought about it, and two, it's new, it's not business as usual. We've had a lot more success in putting things that way. In other words, your annual campaign or your pass-through that you receive every year, that kind of covers the basics, your basic operating, if you will. We've had a lot of success with packaging things as a more of a strategic initiative. If these are the demands or these are the needs out there that are not being addressed, they're not being met, they're becoming worse and worse, they're actually adding to existing problems we have now, we need certain amounts of funding to address those, hopefully even prevent those sometimes. We package that way because it helps create sometimes that sense of urgency. And it really demonstrates, just in the phraseology, that you're really addressing things in a proactive manner.
And it all starts because you cannot present those strategic initiatives to the community unless you have credibility. Tom, thanks for elucidating these ideas about credibility. And stay tuned. We have two more episodes in our series called Asking Rights. My guest again, Tom Ralser. Thanks for listening.